This sermon was recorded at the Church of Christ, Northwest Arkansas. We are Christians seeking to worship God in spirit and in truth, according to the New Testament. Come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 at 1708 Elm Springs Road in Springdale, Arkansas.
All right. Well, it is a great blessing to be with you all. It seems, I guess I was here last Sunday, but I don't know, for some reason it feels like there's some I haven't seen in a while, and it's just always good to be back with the family of Christ and be together. There's just no better place to be. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. We're going to study about the body of Christ because there's some important concepts that we need to know as Christians. We need to understand what the body of Christ is and the function. And there's two really key concepts that we need to know when we're talking about the body of Christ. First is you need the body of Christ, and we'll talk about why. And also the body of Christ needs you. And we'll talk about why as well. But at the core, at the foundation of this lesson, really what I want you to take away, if there's nothing else, I want you to understand that without the body of Christ, you cannot have a relationship with God. So if you don't have the body, you don't actually have a relationship with God. And we'll talk about why. Hopefully that piques your interest, and you'll see from the Scriptures, and we'll show from the Scriptures why that is the case as we go through this lesson. But it's really important for us to know that, because there's a lot of Christians that live under the assumption that being a Christian is only about me and God, only about what He thinks about me, and that's it. And sometimes it can be, sometimes people have a legitimate reason or a feeling that they don't need other Christians because maybe they've been hurt in the past. And so that's true, and I want to acknowledge that. Sometimes it's really difficult to get over that hurt. A phrase that has become more and more popular is church hurt. A lot of people are hurt by people that claim to be Christians or that are Christians and that didn't treat them properly, and so they were hurt by that. And I just want to acknowledge that can be an issue sometimes for people. But we still need to understand that without the body, we cannot fulfill our lives as Christians. And so some may not even have a reason or church hurt. They just might not think the church is that important, and so they choose to live at arm's length, pun somewhat intended there, since we're talking about the body. And they might choose to live at arm's length from people and from fellow Christians, and they think, okay, well, everything's going to be fine, and I can just live on the periphery. I can live somewhat disconnected, and it's okay. Like, it's fine to live that way. However, the Bible shows us something really different about the body. And to start off, we need to know just a few details about the body and how it works and how the Bible describes that. So firstly, if you're a Christian, you have been added to a body. It's called Christ's body. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul says that you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So the Bible describes when we're saved, when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we are put into something, and that is Christ. We are in Christ at that point. And that's the only way we can access Christ, and the only way we can get into Christ is if we've been baptized into Him, and there's other verses that relate to that. But when that process takes place, Paul also described in 1 Corinthians 12, he said, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit." So what happens when we're baptized, what's going on really is obviously our sins are being removed in that moment when we're immersed in the water. God is using His power to remove sin from us, but also what's happening is the Holy Spirit is putting us into the body of Christ and making us part of the body. So no matter who we are or where we come from, Jew or Gentile, bond or free, no matter what our background is, everyone can be placed into the body of Christ. And any person that has been baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins and understands what is taking place is saved and by God, and also not just cleansed from sin, but you've been added to something, and it is a body. And the body is described as all of those that are sanctified in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, he says, "As the body is one and has many members or many body parts, so also, and all the body parts of that one body, there are many of them, but they all compose one body." He says, so also is Christ. So the Bible, gives us a really clear picture of when we're baptized into Jesus, we're put into His body. Now, Some people have a concept that says, well, all the different denominations of the world, those are all part of the body. What the Bible describes is individuals. Individual people are put into Christ, and we're all part of his body. That's really the picture that we have. And there's only one, Christ has only one body that we can belong to. And so we need to know that. And it does function, and it is described just as a human body, as Paul says here. Your body is made up of a bunch of different body parts. You have fingers and hands and all the things that we can see on the outside, but there's things happening on the inside as well, right? There's muscles and there's tendons and there's blood and there's veins and there's bones and all kinds of things that make up your body. So all kinds of body parts that have to be together and come together in order for you to be a proper body, right? Something's wrong when some of those things are missing or some of those things are not functioning properly. There's something that's wrong, right? That's not the norm. Think of the body of Christ. Think of the church that belongs to Christ in the same way. Every person who's been baptized into Christ is a body part and serves a purpose and serves a function. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But the way the body of Christ works, just as we have a body, we need a head that, you know, obviously our head is contains our brain, and that's the central nervous system, and it's directing and guiding and controlling the body through involuntary movements or even through voluntary movements. The brain is a very important and critical function. Without it, the body's not going to do anything. Think about people who have been in tragic accidents, and if there's no brain activity, they're just laying there. They're in a coma. We call that a vegetative state because they can't do anything. Their brain's not sending the proper signals to the rest of the body, and they're not conscious. They're not awake. They're not alert, right? So the head is very important. And as far as the church goes, we have a head. And that is not a man, not some board of elders, not some group of men that control members of the church or have rule over somebody's life, but instead the head is Christ. And he says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, Paul writes, he said that Christ is the head of the body, the church. And so he is the one that controls. He's the one that sends the messages out. He's the one that helps us to understand what we should do and how we should function how we ought to live. Just like the brain is sending out those messages and directing and guiding our bodies, Christ does that as well. He does that through his word, and he does that through the messages that he sends us, and we are connected to him, the head. We need to unthink about church and get this concept out of our minds that church is worship. We often equate those terms, and we say, okay, I'm going to worship. Well, worship is an action that we're doing together. That's what worship is. The church is not worship. Worship is something that the church does, but the church is a body, and that's what we belong to, and Christ is the head. And he's the head of the church, and that is all the Christians who are in him are the church. And just as the body is joined together, as like a real body, that's how Paul describes the body of Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, I just realized too, I didn't update that. Sorry, I just realized that. Just like the actual body is connected, Colossians chapter 2 verse 19 from the ESV says, Paul is describing people who don't honor the head and aren't recognizing the head. He says, we should recognize the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. Just like your body is connected by joints and ligaments and is growing together. As your body, you start small as a baby, of course, and it all is growing together all the parts are growing, all the parts are contributing, all the parts are joined together. That's how the body of Christ is described, like a real body. And just like a real body, it's made up of these different interconnected parts. Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17, he says, if the whole body was an eye, and our eye performs a specific function, right? It sees, it takes in the information and the lights and the colors and all the stuff that happens in your eye, helps you to be able to see and take in that visual information. Well, he says, if the whole body was just an eye, how would it be able to hear anything? And if the whole body, if the only function that your body served was to hear, Well, how would you be able to smell? You wouldn't have any of these other senses if your body was just composed of one body part. If your body was just an eye, you wouldn't have any other function but seeing or hearing or smelling. He says, but now, here's how the body of Christ works, just like our actual human bodies. He says, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. He knows what the body needs. He knows how it's made up. He knows how to create bodies, right? He made man, and he created all the systems. He created all the cells. He created all the pieces that come together to make a body. He knows how to design a body and create. And so he's created a body as it has pleased him, and he puts people, body parts, into his body as it has pleased him, according to his design. And he says, if we were all one member, and don't think of the word member as a member of a congregation, think of it as a body part. That's the actual meaning here. He says, if you were all one body part, how could you actually be a body? You wouldn't be able to be a functioning body if you were just one body part. That would be weird, right? If you were just an eye or just an ear. That's not a body. That's just a part, right? He says, but now there are many parts, but there's one body. So that's how we need to think about the church. That's how we need to think about the body of Christ. It's made up of different interdependent parts, and every person plays a part, although we might serve a different function or have a different capability, we are serving the same purpose. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said this about the body and the different roles, the different functions that he gave. He said there, God gave some to be apostles, he gave some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. What was the reason that God gave all of these things? Well, for the perfecting or the completing of the saints. It's you're building up the saints, individuals. You're building up the church, those different body parts. Why? For the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we're here to build each other up as the body. Just like when you exercise and you work out, if you're lifting weights, it's not just your hand that's getting a workout, right? It's your forearm and then your biceps, and I don't know the rest of the terminology, but your whole body is getting, or more parts of your body are getting worked out, and you're getting exercise and you're building those muscles up. And it's just the same way. God gave these different roles and these different functions, and the things that you contribute to the body are for the building up of the body of Christ, to help each other grow, and for the work of the ministry, so that we can go and properly share the word of God and bring other people into the body and help them become part of the body and help them build up and get the strength and the nourishment that the body needs. Because everyone is playing that part. Everyone's connected. Just like you're any part of your body, it's so connected to everything else. It's drawing nourishment. It's drawing it's drawing the blood. It's drawing those things that it needs to be healthy and to be alive. That's the same way it works in the body of Christ. We have to have that connection. We have to be part of the body, and we have to think about it that way, or else we cannot really be alive. If we're a body part, we cannot be alive without being connected to the body of Christ. That's why it's so important. We have to have each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 25 and 20, verse 25 and 26, Paul said, there should be no schism in the body. A schism is a division. It's like if there was a giant cut inside of you or a giant gap. That's not right. That's not good. That's not healthy. And when we have accidents and if we had a giant gash in our arm, we're not just going to leave that and be content with that and go along and just, okay, it's fine. You know, this is good. No, we're going to do everything we can to repair that gash. We're going to close that wound. We want healing to take place so that your body can be whole and so that it can be functioning, so that it can be healthy. If you left some open gap in your body, it's going to get infected. It's going to get disease. It's going to cause more problems. We know this because of just our normal lives and the way we take care of our own bodies. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. There shouldn't be schisms. There shouldn't be divisions and these gaping problems in the body of Christ that are just these festering open wounds. And beyond that, those kinds of divisions, we can't live as a part of the body if we're disconnected and there's a schism. So think about it in terms of yourself. You can't be a part if there's this huge divide. He says all the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's the way it should work. We should be so interconnected that we feel each other's pain. We feel each other's joy. We draw strength from each other, but we're there to support each other. Pat gives an example when he talks about the body, and I think it's really an apt example. When you stub your toe, what happens? The rest of your hands rush to work out that pain, and you know, if you grab your toe, and it's like, you know, that's just a natural instinct, a natural reflex. When some part of the body gets hurt, you reach for that, and you cover it, and you protect it, right? Or you try to work that out, or you do everything you can. Other parts are contributing to the healing, but sometimes you could smash your thumb or smash your hand, and you might feel that pain throbbing in other parts of your body. I've heard countless stories like that where people say they can, you know, you might hurt one part, but you can feel it everywhere. And that's the same way it should work in the body of Christ. If there's a member that's suffering, we're going to feel that pain. We're going to know that they're hurting, and we should be so connected, just like a real body. And then we should provide care for each other, just like a real body does, with love, with support, with encouragement, not with division and with self-destruction. It's not healthy if we're self-destructing. It's not healthy if we're hurting our own bodies and causing schisms and disconnecting our own body parts. That's not natural, is it? So it's not natural in the body of Christ either. So with that concept in mind, thinking about it as a body, as the Bible describes it, like a human body, you need to know that if you're a member of the body, if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, you need the body. You have to have the body in order to be alive. You can't have it any other way. Now, something interesting that has happened that we're all experiencing is the rise of technology. And there's a whole lot of information out there. There's a lot of ways to get information. Now, during the pandemic, it became really popular. It became really common for churches to have live streams. And I'm not knocking that. I mean, we started a live stream ourselves. We didn't have it as a service. We just did it as a study that people could watch at their convenience. And there was a lot of more people putting their sermons out there on podcast. And those things are good tools. They have been beneficial. We have reaped fruit from those types of efforts. So I'm certainly not against those tools. But something that has happened that's obvious is Christians think they can live disconnected from the body of Christ and just get what I need by, I'm just going to listen to this sermon online, or I'm just going to watch this thing online, or I'm just going to join virtually. And here's the thing, just being, you know, upfront about that, straightforward about that, that is not a real connection with people. That's a virtual connection. You're watching on a screen. Now, you might be learning something wonderful, but there's not an actual human-to-human connection. We have to have that. And that's I've talked about this before with social media. It's a counterfeit connection. You might have thousands of friends on your friends list, but those aren't actual friends unless you're with each other. You're in each other's lives. You're supporting each other. You're seeing each other. You're hearing each other. Being in the presence of other people is critical for our just normal, just church aside. It's just something we need as humans. We can't live alone and isolated from people. But for some reason, that has become really popular, and it's easy, it's convenient. I know it's so convenient, but we can't replace the real and human connection with our brothers and sisters, because think about it this way: that would be like trying to take a living hand and attaching it to a prosthetic body. It doesn't work. It doesn't. You can't get the right kind of support and strength and nutrients and growth from a prosthetic body. So that's really the same concept in the church. We can't just be connected to the body of Christ virtually and think that we're deeply connected. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, it says, "Let's consider one another to provoke to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The Bible says, don't forsake assembling yourselves together. Don't forsake being together. And unfortunately, with the rise of technology, that has become an issue where some people are forsaking the opportunity to be together in favor of a virtual connection. But I'll tell you, you're not going to get what you need from a virtual connection. It might feel like you are, but ultimately you won't get what you need. You can't be a living body part that's connected to a virtual body. Now, maybe that's not the case, here. That's just something I want to point out and have us keep in mind. But something else that happens in the body of Christ is that sometimes members of the body, members of the church, Christians, cut themselves off and live disconnected from the body because they think they're not good enough. And that's also an error. That's also something we ought to not let get into our minds. Paul addressed this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 is full of that illustration of the church as the body. But starting in verse 14, he says, the body is not one member, but it's many. And if the foot says, you know, I'm not the hand, so I'm not really part of the body. Is it really not part of the body? If your hand decided, or if your foot decided, you know, I don't do the exact same thing that the hand can do. I don't serve that same function. I don't look that same way. I don't act that same way. I'm not really part of this body. Well, that's not true. That's an error of thinking. The foot can't disqualify itself because it's not the exact same as some other body part. So here's the teaching that Paul is giving us. You as a Christian in the body of Christ, you serve, you have specific skills, you have specific abilities, you bring something to the table that helps the body of Christ grow. You can't look at somebody else and say, well, I can't talk to people the way they can. I'm not really useful. I'm not really needed here. I'm not really part of this group. Or, oh, I can't teach like some evangelist can. Or I can't lead songs like some other brother can. I can't sing beautifully like some other sister can. So I'm not really, we kind of disengage ourselves because we start to devalue ourselves and say, well, I'm not good enough, so I don't really belong here. Paul says that's not good. That's not right. He says, if the ear says, well, I'm not the eye, so I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And here's the thing. If you disqualify yourself by saying, I'm not good enough because I can't do these same things and I can't be like this brother or this sister, well, you're actually insulting God. He says, if the whole body was an eye, how could we be able to hear? And if the whole were hearing, where is it smelling? We need different people doing different kinds of things in the body of Christ. And what you have to offer is needed, he says, because God has set you in the body as it has pleased him. So if God says, here's where you belong, and you say, no, I don't really belong, who's right? It's God. And so here's the message. You belong in the body of Christ. You can't disqualify yourself and disconnect yourself just because you don't do, and just because you're not eloquent in a prayer or speaking, or you get nervous because you're teaching, or you think you can't talk to people, or you think there's nothing you can contribute. That's not true. You can contribute something. And I want you to hear this. You have value. All of you. Every person in this room has value to the body of Christ, and you matter. You mean something. And God has put you in the body as it has pleased him. So don't compare yourselves to others and disqualify yourself. Compare yourself to others in a way that you can learn and encourage each other and support each other, but don't disqualify yourself in that comparison, because it doesn't make you less valuable or less a part of the body of Christ if you can't contribute the exact same thing that somebody else can. So you need to know that, and you need to hear that. So don't cut yourself off and live disconnected because you think you're not good enough. That's just not true. You are. So don't live disconnected. Besides, if you try to live disconnected, you will not be able to live. You will ascend. If you cut off your hand, that hand is going to die and shrivel up unless it is reconnected to the body in a really quick manner. It cannot live separate. And so there's another thing that might happen as members of the body of Christ. We might have a mindset that we can live virtually, or that we can kind of live disconnected because maybe we disqualify ourselves, but some people just choose to live disconnected and they don't ever want to actually love each other and get connected with each other, and they want to live on the periphery, but we cannot actually be a member of the body living on the periphery. And if we're members of the body of Christ, you need to know that you need the body and you need to love the body. You need to love the other members of the church. Because you haven't been baptized into Christ just so that you have this siloed relationship and it's just this connection between you and God. You've been put into a family. You've been born into a family. Peter says it this way, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. You've been cleansed. If you've been baptized into Christ and you obeyed the truth through the Spirit, unto you've obeyed that unto unfeigned love of the brethren. The Bible describes brethren like family. They're brothers, they're sisters. That's why we use that language, because the Bible uses that language, and that's how he describes it. He says in 1 John 4, John writes in 1 John 4:21, he says, this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. So if you think you love God and you think you want to serve him, you also need to love his people, those who are his children. Because it's not just you that's been born into God and as a child of God. Everybody else who is a Christian, is baptized in Christ, is a brother, a sister, a child of God. He says this in 1 John 5. He goes on to say, whoever believes that Jesus Christ Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him, that begat, meaning to be made born, loves also him that is begotten of him. Again, it's not just you. There's other people that have been born into Christ and into this family. And if we love Christ, then we need to love the people who are also born of Christ. That's what he's saying. And by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandment. What commandment is he talking about? Well, he said it just right in the chapter before. This is the commandment we have, that he that loves God should love his brother also. And this is why I said earlier that if you don't have the body of Christ and you don't love the body of Christ, especially if you don't love the body of Christ, you cannot truly love God and truly follow him and truly have a relationship with him. It cannot work, because those two are so interconnected. And that's not just me saying that. John says that. Look at the verse prior to this. He says in verse 20, he says, if a man says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, he's a liar. That's what John said. Strong words, straightforward words. But that's what the Bible says. If we claim to love God, yet we don't really love each other, he says we're lying. We're not living in the truth. We're living inconsistently, right? We're not in alignment with his will. Why? He that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? If we can't love each other and get along with each other, and not just get along, but love and support and be united and care about each other as fellow members of the body of Christ, and you're right in front of me, I can see you, we can interact, what makes us think that we're going to love a God who we can't see with our own eyes yet? And we might think, well, it's different because I'm going to be in his presence. Sure. But that's like working when the boss is around, right? I'm going to act right and do things right. We need to act right all the time. And acting right means we love each other. We don't hate each other. Because if we can't, it's a reflection of your love towards God. That's how we need to look at the body of Christ. It's our reflection of our love towards God. If we don't love the body, we cannot love God. That's what the scriptures are saying to us very loudly and clearly. So you need the body, and you need to love the body. Now I want to talk about the other side of that. The body needs you. The body of Christ needs you, because you have something that you can contribute. You have something that you can provide that's of value to God and to helping us in our mission to support and help each other grow, but also to help other people hear this message and to be brought into the family of Christ. It's not just about us. It's about helping to continue to bear that fruit and plant and water. Now, something that happens, unfortunately, and I talked about this at the beginning, there's something a phrase that has become more common, sadly, and it's called church hurt, because people in the body of Christ don't act right sometimes towards other people. And that is wrong. And it is unfortunate that we don't control ourselves and bring ourselves into submission to God, and we hurt other people. And so something I want to say to the body, as a body of Christ, something that makes it difficult for people to engage and to be connected sometimes is our own attitude. And so if we really think that we need other people, we need each other, then we need to have a mindset of first of all, knowing that you can't be discounted as a member of the body, and other people, and you shouldn't be discounting other people. So the foot might look at the hand and go, well, I can't do that, so I'm not part of the body. But the hand might look at the foot and say, well, you can't do what I can do, so you're not really valuable here. And Paul addresses that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. He says, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. So if we're doing that and discounting somebody and saying, well, they're not really good enough, well, we're going against God too, right? because he's the one that put us in the body as it has pleased him. So verse 19, he says, if they were all one body part, how could it be a body? But now there are many body parts, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I don't have need of you. He says, no, much more. Those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And he goes on to describe more about that. But an eye, the eye can't look at the hands and say, I don't really need you. Or the hands can't look at the eye and say, I don't really need you. If an eye was just able to see but can't grab anything, well, that's limiting, right? You're discounting yourself and you're actually hurting yourself if you discount other people. You're hurting the body of Christ if you discount others and cast them out and say, I don't need you. Or the head to the feet. If a head had no feet, if your body just had a head and no feet, you can't go anywhere. At least not as easily, right? So you need each other. You have to depend on each other. You have to count on each other. You have to work together. And if you're a member of the body, don't discount other people from service in the body or treat them like they're not actually members of the body of Christ, because they are, regardless of what we might think, regardless of what we might say or feel. They are part of the body. Now, the body needs you as an individual, as a body part, to come in. And so regardless if somebody's trying to discount you, don't let that stop you, because God knows what you're capable of. And the body is supported by what you give and what you bring to the table. First Ephesians 4:16, he says, the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Every part is playing something and supplying something, supplying strength. And he says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. If every part is healthy and functioning properly, everyone's contributing to the growth, and it makes the body to increase into the edifying of itself in love. So you have something to offer. You have something to contribute. Now I want to say something else as far as the body needing you, and to reinforce this idea that we're not all going to do the same thing and provide the same function. It's just true, and there's zero wrong with this, that you aren't all capable of doing the same thing in the same amount, producing the same thing. It's just true. And admittedly, in the past, I haven't always thought of it that way, and I hurt other people because I expected them to do some level. Maybe they weren't capable of that. They weren't ready yet, maybe. Or maybe just not capable at all. But I wasn't willing to see that. And you know, you can push people too much, you'll push them out and push them away. And sadly, I did that, and I have a lot of regrets about that. But we need to know, as members of the body, as we're supporting each other and caring for each other and lifting each other up, that not everybody's capable of the same thing. Think about this parable of the talents. In Matthew 25, Jesus talks about a lord who had different amounts of money, and he there's three different examples, and he gives one guy a certain amount of money, five talents worth of money. The other he gives two talents worth of money, and the other he gives one talent. He says what? Matthew 25:15. To one he gave five, another two, another one, to every man according to his several ability. So God gives you opportunities according to your ability, because he knows that we're not all capable of performing at the same level, producing the same amount, however you want to say that. He knows that we're not all capable in the same way, and that's fine. But we are all responsible for the same thing, to do something with what God has given us. Because in this parable, the guy who had one, he might think, well, I'm not as good as the two-talent man or the five-talent man. I can't manage as much money as these guys and produce as much and bring as much of a return on that. So what did he do? He buried it because he was scared and didn't want to do anything. And so he buried that. He was fearful, and he got in trouble for that, didn't he? He was punished for that, because that's not what God wants us to do. And so even if you can only do a little bit, do it. Bring that to the table and do that thing, even if it's one small thing, because it's needed. So don't bury your responsibility that God has given you to be an active and participating member of his body, his kingdom. You might not have been given much, but do something with what you can, or else, like in the parable, you will lose your reward. So inaction is not a good excuse. Well, I was scared, or no, I didn't know it. No, we have to just do what we can with what we have. And here's the thing about that parable too. As those men use those resources, those servants use those resources, they grew in their capacity to take on more. So you're going to grow. You're going to be able to do more and more over time, potentially, but just take it easy on yourself in that way, and don't expect to do a whole lot when you're not capable or not ready yet. Especially if you're a young Christian or a babe in Christ, a baby can't do the same things that an adult can. So that's just true. Do all the plants in your garden produce the exact same amount of fruit, the exact same amount of produce? No, they don't, do they? Matthew 13:23, Christ said of the sower, he says, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. There's different people that are going to produce different amounts of fruit, and that's fine. You might only ever talk to one person and help them become a Christian. Great. That's wonderful. Do that. But I have a feeling that if you're able to do that, that you're not going to just talk to one person and help one person. But you're not going to produce the same amount of fruit as somebody who is, you know, we could think of strong Christians. I can think of men who are leaders, whether they're evangelists or whether they're elders, and they're doing so much and they're producing so much help and support in the body and helping so many people. And I think of those guys as producing 100-fold, and it's like, I can't do that. I can't be at that level. I don't have the time or the money or the resources or the ability like that they do. And guess what? That is okay. That's fine. You need to know that so that you don't put so much pressure on yourself that you hurt yourself. Because if you put too much on a body part when it's not ready to take that on, you're gonna get hurt. So you need to know that, and the body needs you. And one more thing, as I close out here, the body needs you to be a healthy, thriving body part, because it can only function if you're healthy. It can only be fully functional if you are a healthy part that's contributing. Because you're not just accountable to God for how you live, you have a responsibility and you're accountable to other people in the body of Christ too. So that's a whole other added layer of importance for us as we think about the body needing us. And the body needs you to be faithful. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. So think about it as a different body that's out there. Don't attach yourself to the body that is the world. Attach yourself to the body of Christ, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You need to choose to live faithfully, because your health spiritually impacts everybody else. It either will help everybody else or it will hurt everybody else in the body of Christ, the people that are around you. Think about a real body. If there's a part that grows diseased, that's a danger, can be a danger to the rest of the body. It causes pain, it causes problems, it might spread infection, might spread disease. When there's a person who has a cancer in their body, what's the fear? Has it spread? That's what people are always afraid of, and that's how we know to assume the worst. If it's spread to every body part, we know that that's a danger, and there's no recovery from that. So if you grow diseased with sin, you become a danger to the rest of the body. And as you think about your role, be mindful that you're growing and transforming your life to the Word of God, because that's the best thing you can do for yourself and for your brothers and your sisters, because the body's dependent on you. And if you stay diseased and you just become a dead limb, what happens to people that have those problems? Well, they have to get amputated. And at what point, I mean, what else is there for God to do but to cut you off from the body of Christ, if you choose to stay diseased and just become a dead limb? And when that happens, I don't know, but it's going to happen at some point. And so it's serious of why the body needs us and why we need the body. And the body needs you to be healthy. One last verse. The Bible says this in Proverbs 25:19, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. He says, if you're in a time of trouble and there's danger around and you can't count on this person, let's pretend it's a messenger and he's going to get help. But if it's an unfaithful person, you can't count on him to actually do what he's going to do. He says, that's like a broken tooth. You can't count on that. It hurts. It's painful. It doesn't work right. Or a foot that's out of joint. If you've ever tried running or even walking with a sprained ankle, it's painful, it's hard. And you can't count on that limb because it's not healthy until you recoup and then it gets healthy. So think about this in relation to your spiritual health. If you're not there, or even just choosing to be disconnected from the body in general, the body needs you, because if you're not here to help, to do what you can in service to your God and our God and our Father, you're causing that kind of pain to the body. You're causing the rest of the body to make up for what's lacking. You're causing pain to the rest of the body and limiting the functioning of the body. Just like a person that has a disability, they have to work extra hard to adapt because they're missing a limb. Well, that's how it is in the body of Christ. If you're missing, that's how important you are to the body and the value you bring. If you're missing, then the rest of the body is going to have to step up and do extra work to make up for the part that's lacking. In this example, if you're an unhealthy, if you choose to live disconnected, then you're that broken tooth or that foot that's out of joint. And that's not what God wants us to do or be. And He wants us to know that it's possible for us to be part of the body. So understand those two big important things. Number one, if you're baptized into Christ, you are part of the body and you belong and you are needed and you have value. You can't discount yourself and others can't discount you. Those two other important things. You need the body of Christ, else you cannot live. And you cannot have a relationship with God, and the body needs you, because we need you as we grow and support each other and do the work of the ministry. So I hope that this lesson has been encouraging to you. I want you to know that it's possible for you to be a good, healthy, thriving part of the body, and we're here to help and support. We're not here to tear each other down and cause some schism and to make you feel ridiculous because you have a problem in your life, or make you feel so ashamed that you can't speak up. We want you to speak up. We need to know what's going on. We need to know to weep with you and to feel that pain with you and to suffer with you. So, and then come around you so we can help you be healed and be functioning and to be healthy, because we want that. And if you want that this morning, if you're a Christian and you feel like maybe you've been living disconnected and you want prayers and you want prayers, or to create some kind of plan, or you want to talk about how you could be more connected to the body, we want to pray with you in that regard. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you haven't been baptized into Christ. Well, there's only one way to be part of the body of Christ, and that is, as the Scriptures define for us, to be baptized into Him. When that happens, you'll be putting on Christ. He'll remove the sins from you. He'll make you clean. He'll make you His. He'll make you part of His family. And then you can belong to the place where you do belong, and you are wanted and you are needed to help support the body of Christ. So if you want to join the family of Christ and be a part of the body, or if you need support as a hurting member that needs strength, we're here to help anyone. So if you have those needs, come forward and have a seat, and we'll talk to you, we'll pray with you, and we'll provide whatever support we can this morning as we stand and we sing this song.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from God's Word. If there's anything we can do to help you in your walk with Christ, send us a message at facebook.com/CFCNWA. To find more sermons, look for us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and God bless.